Hey everybody, this is Mike with the Mountain Weekly News. Welcome back to episode number 33 of the Everything Snowboarding and More podcast. This week's podcast is being brought to you by Spark R&D. Spark R&D are the makers of the most reliable, durable split board bindings on the market. For more information, check out sparkrnd.com. This week's special guest is James Beastie. James Beastie is the founder of a website called thegoodride.com. Our interview took place this year at the Outdoor Retailer Trade Show in Denver, Colorado in late January. And so this is a long interview. It's really, really cool. It's in-depth. You're going to learn a lot about snowboarding in the industry. And it's from two people that are kind of kooks. That's myself and James. So enjoy the episode and thanks for tuning in. Hey everybody, this is Mike, Mountain Weekly News. I'm here with an old friend of mine, James from The Good Ride. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your website and your background in snowboarding?
I don't know. It's The Good Ride. I mean, just go to the site, you'll see. But I don't know. I just wanted a site that had the voice for the average rider. I'm exceptionally average. I'm a gear whore. And it just worked well for me. And I started, I think the first time I snowboarded was 1989. I got on a Nidecker and I fucking loved it. And I was like, this is so cool. And I'd surfed all my life at that point. And I realized how expensive it was. So I just basically went back to surfing. It was too hard.
For sure.
You know, and my dad, I looked at my dad and I'm like, I need a snowboard. And he's like, because I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just bought you skis like 2 years ago. There's no fucking way. And so I was like, well, I'm a surfer then. And years went by and every now and then I'd get a hookup from a friend who'd take me up to the mountains and give me a board or something and I'd have a blast. And then I'd realize I had no money. And then in like the early 2000s, I actually got a real job that actually paid me money.
Well, a real job, what did you do?
I was a telecommunications consultant. I looked at multiple carriers and said, which is the worst and which is the best for this company? But they all sucked in some kind of way. And it was great because I liked being objective. I didn't want to sell one thing. And I liked that, but I sucked at it. I was like the worst employee. I was always surfing. I was always in the mountains. I was, you know, just nothing worked. And then I got the idea of the Good Ride when I put my shoulder, my collarbone through my trap and out my back. And they used a tendon to replace the wrist. And as I was waiting to kind of get back out there, I'd been dabbling in Excel spreadsheets for the 2 years before trying to figure out what I was going to buy next. And it just kind of kept evolving and evolving. And I was like, I should publish this. And then that was the catalyst. It was like, okay, just do this. And it sucked. And it kept, as Peter said, you guys know Peter. He was like, dude, when you first started this, it sucked. And then it sucked a little less. And then it sucked a little less. And then it sucked a little less. You still suck. And that's what he would tell me right now. He'd go, you still suck, Beastie.
I agree.
Yes. I know.
As do I.
He goes, but you're still working at it and you're sucking less. And so that was the Good Ride.
So your background in telecommunications, you were kind of reviewing stuff. You already had a good idea of what you liked and what you didn't, and were able to kind of direct people maybe toward what was best for them.
Right. It's just all about finding what's best for them. It's not what I liked and what I didn't. It was finding the weakness that worked the best, you know, or finding the strength that worked the best and the weakness that caused the least problems. And that's all I've ever been doing with snowboarding. So.
And so what is the website that they can find you at? How do you get to Good Ride?
I've never done these podcasts. I didn't know we'd, is this product placement time?
Of course.
All right, thegoodride.com.
Okay.
And ask these guys questions, because this is Steph, my women's editor. And this is Zobel, and he's been helping me for years. And just an all-around good guy. And one of the things about the website is it's not just about my opinion, it's everybody else's. So.
How many boards did you review roughly this season?
I don't know. I think it's probably 20s, 30s so far. And then it really kind of picks up steam when, you know, when the trade show and the demos are over. That's when everything starts getting shipped. And then it's just, I go till the snow's gone, you know, till the resorts close.
And so for last season, the Good Ride total, do you have any idea of how many boards you actually went out and tested?
I didn't count, but probably like 80 to 100, yep. Somewhere around there. It's just, you know, there's lots that happens at the demo, but the magic time is when they, you know, you review a lot of boards too. Yep. And it's just like, it's so much fun to actually get them, try them in different conditions instead of the frantic, manic demo dash, you know.
Each day Beastie comes up to the resort, he pulls up in his Subaru and he has a quiver stack high on one side of his car of 20 boards or so. The other side is all bindings. And so then the first start is like, okay, what do we want to demo today? And then it's just a grab of, do we want, you know, camber boards? Do we want aggressive boards, mountain boards? It's just your, what are we going to do today? And then it's a matter of then what brand, what, you know, all those different things play into it. Because obviously what binding you're riding affects what board you're riding. So you want to choose what average people should select so that it's a better choice overall. Because in end, we're servicing most people out there, they want one board. They're not looking for their fifth or sixth board. They're looking, what one board will get me on the mountain and have the most fun. So that's what we're trying to dial in for that average rider on the mountain that needs a good setup.
There's a trend right now.
Thanks, Obel.
Yeah. Right now,
it's the Bee Harmony profile.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Yeah.
There is that trend where people think they need a quiver. And, you know, for me, I think that, you know, one good snowboard, you know, an all-around board, I mean, that means so much more to me than going out. And your average consumer probably doesn't have five or six snowboards lined up at the house. And so to have a couple of those boards, the other point that you made about testing equipment, you know, here at the trade shows, basically people go out and they take one run on the board and they're expected to give feedback. And we don't know what the conditions are even going to be at the mountain. It could be a ripping powder day with knee-deep powder. It could be sheet ice. It could be something in between. And so I think it's really hard. And a lot of the reviews that come out and a lot of the coverage in the magazines are based on this one run philosophy, yeah, versus like what you're doing and other sites like myself.
And you're doing. Yeah.
We get to actually go out and play with the product, different conditions, more than one run. And I think if you go through too many boards in one day, it's like, what feedback, you know, what did I ride today? You know,
yeah.
And how do you compare?
Well, I mean, what do you think of the demos? I mean,
I think they suck. Personally, I want to support SIA, the organization. I did a talk about influencer marketing with SIA earlier this year. I was really happy to get invited to that. Uh-huh. But as far as the demos, I don't think it's very inducive. If they had the demo before the trade show, I think that would be different. I think that would create more stoke, probably sell a lot more boards because now people understand how it's going to ride. For instance, you know, Academy has a line of camber snowboards, and there's a lot of people that won't touch that. They need to get out and actually try the boards. And I think once you actually try something, your opinion, I talked a lot of shit on BOA. Now I love BOA. Until I tried it,
well,
I didn't
know.
It kept
evolving, you know?
It did.
Yeah.
The first editions were really bad. People
like
were getting locked. And
yeah, or it was just like, hey, I've got one lace,
yep,
from top to bottom,
yep,
you know? And I have, maybe I'm not even featured, but I have a bigger ankle,
yep,
and I need it loose on the bottom. So I was like, this is convenient, but fuck, man, this hurts my ankle. If I want my top to be as tight as my bottom, that hurts.
Speaking of boots, what's your daily driver?
I think lately, the Mike Fox rendition of the Adidas Tactical ADV, that reminds me of the SLX I had in like 07. And it's just such a good boot for me. Might not necessarily be a good boot for, you know. Hey, can you read that?
In case you guys hear something in the background, we had this note when we got into the podcast room. Thank you, OR, for providing this room, by the way. And it said, hi, podcasters, take note of the fan. It'll cut in and out. Just stay on top of your levels, and it'll be all good.
Okay.
We're still there. What are we talking about? We're talking about boots.
Boots. But that boot works for me, especially because I'm old and broken. It has lots of shock absorption, and it works for me. It works for some other riders of ours, but Zobes likes...
I have the Adidas Samba right now. And I love them. And they have the BOA system, the dual BOA system. And at first,
Response.
Response, yes.
Yeah.
They look like a Samba tennis shoe, which is what I'm wearing today. So, but I was amazed because at first I didn't want, I'm traditionalist all over the place.
Because before, what'd you have?
I have the Burton Rovers.
Yeah.
Which I love those too. But the Adidas have the smallest footprint out there for boots. I'm a size 11 or 11 and a half. And so by getting down to that 10 or 10 and a half zone, I can then ride the normal mid-range.
Like the boards that I get as a size 9. Right.
And so I'm not towing out all the time, which is huge for me. So the Adidas I love. The Burtons are half a size smaller, so they're still good. And I love the Rovers, but the Adidas right now are, I love those. They're every day.
And because before that, we've been dabbling in toe reduction surgery, trying to like find like a good ride budget to maybe cut off Zobel and Jimbo's toes.
Right.
And maybe we could all ride the same board and have the same opinion, but now we don't have to.
Right, because again, averages, you go with your size 9 and beats these dainty little feet that he has that are almost on the small side.
They're beautiful.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. And they're a little wide, but they're beautiful. Wide. Yeah.
And then with mine, it's like I'm right on the cusp of needing the wide boards. And sometimes the boards I ride at Beastie are like, I like these boards, and sometimes they aren't offered in wides. So it's kind of hard to find that optimal board for your shoe size, even, not let alone your riding style. So there's a lot of technicalities that we go into with all of these different boards that we're riding and we're evaluating. And it's good to have Beastie's frame versus my frame versus shoe size versus everything else that we go through.
I didn't realize that about Adidas being the smallest footprint. I have not been able to review their stuff, so I'd love to get a contact.
Sure. Yeah.
But Adidas, if you're listening, you know, their background in making shoes. And when they first came out, I think they had I don't know the exact technology, the Kush or the Air Kush.
Ultra Boost.
By the way,
we're at trade shows.
We've got a special guest here as well, Jim O'Leary. Jim used to be with Yobeat, and Jim was just saying, what was the technology?
It's Ultra Boost. That's Adidas's EVA cushioning. It's a multi pellet system that they do that's a bit different from what everyone else
it
says.
It looks like a fucked up cooler.
Yeah.
It looks like a styrofoam cooler from the 80s.
Or like a smashed bike helmet is what I always say.
Totally the inside.
I don't want to be on this. And then you get on it and you're like,
it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice for people with arthritis.
I can see that.
Speaking of boots, Jim, what's your go-to?
Yeah, since I'm on the list. I'm in 32 TM2 XLTs at the moment. I just have a 32 foot and they've served me well. So I just haven't moved from them in years.
Yeah, my previous one was JP Walker's, which I was doing at my park then.
Soft,
and they're really, really soft, and I love that.
Yeah, because they don't even have the full line.
Yeah,
it's just the forefoot.
Yeah.
It's not even the shaft.
Right.
And how about on the...
anything with 32 that has rubber on the sole, it's like, cool.
Yeah.
But don't give me that EVA foam.
Yeah, I just switched over from some TM2s, which were just the blown foam, which were comfy as hell. But
did you ever do the disco splits in the lift line?
No.
There's no traction. If you're talking to somebody and you're not looking down, you'll step on some ice and you'll just split out.
Yeah, you know,
it's like a bad Travolta.
How about for ladies? What's the boot that you're liking?
Right now it's the Vans Vera.
Ooh.
So there's not a ton of options. There's not a lot of higher end women's boots that have traditional lace with a rubber sole.
And talk about your card.
Oh yeah, it's my business card. So I'm a women's advocate for traditional lace boots. There's only a couple companies that make them still.
Yep.
And if they do make them, it's on the lowest end boot.
Yep.
Men always get a choice,
mostly.
So.
Remember when we were looking, we were like, well, let's find your boot. You know?
Yeah.
Every website we went to, she's just like, Steph doesn't cuss. But I'm like, fuck. Well, no, this is a good company. They make really good boots. And then it's like. And then we were talking to our friend who's a buyer. And Steph's like, do you think they're ever be traditional lace? He goes, yeah, for pros. It's never going to be.
Yep.
They're the only ones that want them.
Yeah, it's never going to be for sale.
Yeah, it's tough making that switch as an old school snowboarder. I still love lace. We actually gave the Farah an award.
You sounded like Brick from Anchorman.
I love
lace.
You know, the Farah is a great boot. We gave it this year's best women's snowboard boot. I love Vans. I think that
they make some good shit.
They're comfortable the day you put them on. You don't need to break them in. I've used the Patmore Infuse boot, which is a combination of lace, power strap, and boa.
Yeah, nice.
And so at that point, you can dial in, you can customize. And then at the end of the season, I mean, the boot's still as stiff as day one. They have stiffeners that you can put back in
thing,
and just give a whole new life to your boot where a lot of people, once you have a boot that fits, I remember back in the day having Northwave boots that I would use the same pair for 5 years because I was like, I'm not switching. Mm-hmm. And it's so uncomfortable to put my foot in a new boot. Deluxe just sent me a boot, the Spark XV.
That looks cool.
Yeah.
Gnarly.
That's so you, though.
Boot.
I want to try it, but it doesn't, you know, for a solid rider, it, you know.
I would try it if I were you because I put my foot in and I was shocked how comfortable it was. I was like, this is a big mountain boot and it doesn't hurt to get
it
into.
It looks like a ski boot on the outside.
It's fucking gnarly.
Yeah.
It's got like crampon. I don't do that shit. I'm not going out with ice axes. I don't even think Jeremy Jones is doing that. So it's a very niche market.
Yeah. There's the person you want to be and the person you are.
Yes, right.
Yeah. You know what this reminds me of? Is the first time we met and we were at this table. It was some weird conference.
Yes.
And we started talking and then we just kind of moved away from everybody else. And then the gear conversation just continued and we were like, fuck this conference.
Yeah. Have you snowboarded Deer Valley yet?
No, I haven't. And I don't know if I want to.
Right.
You know me, despite my last name, I'm not a confrontation guy, but maybe if I drank 6 or 7 cups of coffee, I'd love to go out and just get into it.
What does your email signature say these days? It always changes, and I always like getting emails from you.
Oh.
So currently, what would be
just
the signature?
Exceptionally
like?
Average, I think.
I love that, and I love that about you, and I love that about your reviews. Snowboarding used to be attainable. When I got into snowboarding, guys were doing like a 360 in the mag, and I was like, I'm learning this. Like, a board slide was like solid. Like, you can do a board slide, and then you can do a front slide. And now it's like gymnastics.
It
and
is.
I don't know that your average person can watch the X Games or any of this and be like, oh, I can do that.
That's why people like us, because we're just celebrate mediocrity.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you try and do a video for each product review that you do?
I try. Generally, kind of consistent, like, personality wise, I'm kind of always the same. Steph knows she spent too much time already with me. But
yeah, your humor is very dry in some of the videos.
That's when he needs us to spice it up a little bit.
But I generally do a video. Sometimes I'm not in the mood, you know, and I just write it and write about it. But I try my hardest to do a video now because that's kind of what the readers want, I think. Don't you?
They do. Our attention span sucks now. And that's the reason we started doing a podcast. Spark R&D is one of our advertisers. And Will Ritter said, hey, I don't have time to read your reviews. Have you listened to the Blister podcast? I said, no, I'll check it out. And so they were just talking about gear. He's like, just talk about the stuff that's on your website so that I can just digest it wherever I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the car,
like driving.
At work.
Yeah, that's good. Okay.
And with the website, we're seeing the amount of time on the site go down, but people are watching videos. And it used to be they wanted these long videos. Now people's attention span's so short. And it's just like coming back and coming back and coming back.
We're all
like,
lab rats these days.
We are.
Yeah. Just show us where the cheese is and we'll get there.
Now you use Vimeo more than YouTube. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And is there any reason to use that platform?
You know, not really. I just like Vimeo. And I feel like when you're done with that video, they show your next video. Just YouTube is cool and everything, and I love putting up teasers on there, but as it stands, as we're talking, this could change in 3 weeks.
Right.
Who knows? But my marketing officer just is like, just keep it there for now. Let's figure something out later.
Yep.
Because we still, even if you want to look at stuff, it's probably better to come to our sites as opposed to have that other platform.
Of course.
And that platform is great, but then we're just a YouTube channel.
Yes.
You know, and that I think you kind of feel the same way, right?
And it's kind of how I feel about social media. You know, I want to stoke out this Facebook feed and have people there and supporting Mark Zuckerberg and have them getting ads? Or do I want to somehow have people coming direct to my site?
Right.
You know, social media, I think it's a joke. And the industry is so caught up. Look at me. It's getting dangerous. I mean, athletes are having to go out and push themselves to a level that's not sustainable for anybody.
At the bottom of my thing, it says, like us on Instagram, because sometimes we try to do shit on it. It's cool.
Yep.
I actually, you know, now that I have somebody helping me with Instagram, I'll look and check our thing, and then I'll get sucked into every cool snowboarding, because it's just all snowboarding. And then my wife is like, could you look at your kids for a little bit? And then I'm like, all right, I'm putting it down for the rest of the night. But I can see why it's so addicting and I can see why we should do it. But- but I don't know if it's the whole thing.
But is that the platform we want?
Yeah, it's not the platform, but it's a great vehicle for people to see who we are. And,
right.
You know, maybe some people just don't want to geek through our site all day.
Yeah.
And then they'll see a feed on Instagram, they'll see a board they like, and then they'll go there. So maybe that works. Same with YouTube, but I don't want to put all my cards in there.
We don't have an Instagram presence.
Really?
And there's been two brands that refused to work with me because of that. The first was Rome Snowboards. And I
really?
Went up to the guy at Rome, Matt or whoever it was, and I called Stone? Them out. Yeah, now they work with us and they love the reviews. But I laughed and I said, if you're judging a metric specifically on one thing and likes and fans, I mean, I can go buy 100,000 fans for Facebook tomorrow and make it look like, oh, check us out. I worked for Teton Gravity Research doing their affiliate marketing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right before I met you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had 300,000 Facebook fans. I would do a post. We would reach 200,000 people. We would talk about gear. We would sell, you know, $40,000, $50,000 product in a day.
Wow.
While I was there, Facebook changed their algorithm. Mm-hmm. We could only reach 10% of our fans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, weird.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, we have 30,000 people we can talk to. We had built this audience. We had paid. We had done campaigns, newsletters, giveaways. It's the same thing with, you know, Instagram, these other. And that's where I think the podcast and your videos, like, you own that. And if you get somebody to come to your site, that's real and that's honest. A lot of times you'll see these articles, the best ofs or whatever it is, and it's just a picture of a board. They've never even tested it.
Yeah.
Some brands, you know, when you ask them for review, they're like, well, we could send you specs or images. I'm like, how is that going to work with the model that...
No, we look at my backpack. I'm just walking around with Jameson. All we do is go around here and drink and collect catalogs and figure out what we're going to do after.
I'm surprised that you take appointments. I will say right now, you are the number one snowboard review site. And one of the most popular just snowboard sites out there when I look at marketing and metrics. And so for you...
Which is surprising because we still suck.
Well, of course, all of us. It's snowboarding.
Yeah.
It's like, really? How can you take yourself seriously at this trade show? We like to have fun. We slide around on snow. There's people in this building that are in the 60s and 70s that are going on 16. And when I first saw that industry, I was like, oh my God, you guys are adults and you have professional jobs and you... get to go have fun and mm-hmm. like be young and wear hats and like tennis shoes. I'm like, this is cool. Like,
yeah.
You know, okay. Since we're drinking and really getting honest, trends in snowboarding, what do you like and what do you don't like right now?
Well, I'm not really here to talk about trends or, you know what I mean? It's not my job. It's for me here to just report what's happening, how it rides and figure out how it works.
Oh, come on, be fucking, be honest here. Just
actually, I've been honest since we've started.
Okay, do you like?
That's the site's goal, is not to just hop on trends or this, not go all in with. You
okay,
know
how
I mean?
About I start?
Right.
I'll start with what I like.
Because Mike, you and I love you, but we're different.
We're
people.
Very different people.
Especially, dude, I'll tell you, when I had a head-on collision and almost died, my perspective in life changed. And for some weird reason after that, I could see everybody's perspective.
Yeah.
And so I'm not here to say where the industry should go. They'll choose that.
Oh, come on. You are a driver in this industry. And what you talk about affects sales and orders.
My steering wheel isn't there.
Your steering wheel is definitely
there. I just observe and report.
I think for me, I like to see a lot of the lines are shrinking and they're starting to focus on, when I was riding resorts, I wanted a top to bottom board. I wanted a board I could ride some powder at the top, maybe hit some fast groomers halfway down, go through the half pipe, which don't exist anymore, or their super pipes are 22 feet.
Well, Steph rides a Mammoth.
Yeah, man, it's fucking gnarly. Like,
yeah.
Copper Mountain.
That's a nice budget, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I think these quiver and the niches become a little
you
much.
And I, you know what? Okay, I will say this. Now I get where you're going with this. I will say that still like 70% of the readers are kind of looking for a one board quiver.
Okay, cool.
Oh, and one thing I don't like about the industry is they go all in with twin. They go all in with directional.
Mm-hmm.
They go like, have you guys, thank you. Okay, have you guys ever seen Tropic Thunder?
Yes.
Okay, you know when Robert Downey Jr. is talking to Ben Stiller and Ben Stiller's talking about I Am Sam when he went full retard?
Full retard.
You know, sometimes the industry does go full retard one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And you go home empty-handed.
the ride alter ego was one of those examples, you know, the split tail. And it was like, you guys don't make that anymore? Like, no, there was no orders. I was like, yeah, that was a little progressive.
Well, I remember riding that, and when the tail wasn't split, it was good. But when it split, sometimes it would catch.
Yes.
Inside edge.
Yeah, that inside edge would just fuck up your line.
So you're still seeing that your consumer and your average snowboarder, that's the thing. Sometimes it's easy to talk to this 1%, split boarding or backcountry snowboarding.
There's always an opinion.
Yeah, but there's people that look for that. How many days average do you think your average snowboarder rides? I think Jim knows this.
10, 15,
less than 10, probably.
My number's from a several years old Transworld business article, so the number may not be exact, but it represents the reality. And it's 2.
One weekend.
2 days a year.
That's why we're successful.
And it's this lie that the industry keeps telling itself that, like, most snowboarders are really super casual.
Yeah. But that's the thing, is I think I love companies. Sometimes, like, one company will do one thing really well. Mm-hmm. That's their niche. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. And if that's what they want to be at the time that it's trendy, that's cool. But the companies that I've seen year in, year out, that do well, you know, we're talking like Yes, Never Summer, Mervin, sometimes, you know, they come and go, but they don't hop on one trend and commit to it. They evolve. Rome does that too. So many companies do that. And some companies just go like, we're all twin or we're all directional. And those companies I see come and go, but the companies that don't, they might dabble more with one style. And, you know, and they might do it really well, and it might be most of their sales, but they didn't neglect that guy kind of in the middle, or that guy who's maybe park or jib oriented, and they have something for everyone. That's what stokes me, because we're all a group of individuals, and we're like the Democratic Party. We can't get shit done. It's like we're a group of individuals, and we all have our opinions and what we want. And that's like what the Good Ride's about. You know, air conditioning and telling people like, hey, it's not about us. It's about you.
Yes.
And that's our whole thing. Steph and I had this talk.
Yes.
When she first started, she was like, well, this is what I like. Should I be honest about what I like? And I'm like, yes, but you should also remember what everybody else, you know, like, it's not, you know what I mean?
It's not all about my opinion and my personal preference. It's about, like, hey, who is this for? Who is it going to benefit? Like, what?
And I think sometimes the snowboard industry gets in trouble when I live in a resort town. I've lived in a ski town for 20 years. I think everybody does this. It turns, I'm just surrounded by people that are, and again, you're talking less than 1%. I mean, there's 16 million people in the U.S. that ski and snowboard. How many people live in the U.S.?
Yeah.
I don't know, billion or something. Not more than 16 million. So it's a very, very small.
Have we been
breeding
quickly? Because I thought we were 300.
Yeah,
300 million?
300 million, yeah.
Really? Is that all?
It's like
maybe 350, but something like that.
Jeez.
We're transitioning.
Shows where my math is.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot more.
We're transitioning into rabbits.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But no, to your point, like, you ride resort in Jackson, which is a completely different.
Oh, yeah.
I'm East Coast based. I live in Boston. Yeah, right. The snow at Waterville is fundamentally different than what you're getting at Jackson. And so it's a different animal. Like you're saying, when brands go all in on this one idea that
they
works at your
audiences.
One place, but it doesn't work for everyone else.
I sent Jim a splitboard this year to ride East Coast resorts. And I was like, who's your average person? When I reviewed the Rome, I was like, this board ride, the Rome tramline. I said, this board rides better in shitty snow than I've ever seen any board ride. And I wrote that and I said, well, you guys are based on the East Coast. I was like, this is probably an amazing board for the conditions that you have.
Right?
And that, I mean, that changes things completely.
And that's why when people email me, they have to fill out a Mi Harmony profile before I'll answer a question. And that's why I don't like social media, because sometimes people just be like, is this board right for me?
You don't allow comments on your website because you would rather have people contact you directly and have more of a one-on-one conversation. Is that correct?
Yeah. First, I want to keep it a positive environment. And I don't want people to feel intimidated. Sometimes people will hop on something and they want to ask a question. They're stoked on the sport. You know, you don't want a bunch of people jumping at them. And
right.
Making fun of them and making them feel uncomfortable. So I make them email me directly, and I make them fill out a Mi Harmony profile. So it's just between me and them. And then I answer the email.
Is your wife okay with that?
Yeah, she says, because it's gear whoring, it's not cheating.
Speaking of which, that used to be part of your signature, right?
I think I was a gear whore extraordinaire for a while.
Yes. Okay. I'll remember some other ones as we go.
Yeah. He still is.
Yeah.
I'll never stop being. I don't know if it's politically correct or not, but it's kind of who I am.
Let's swing back to the trends. As a surfer, as somebody that's actually surfed.
Somebody who surfs small waves.
Yes, small waves.
I love your hat, by the way. So I walk in here and Mike's wearing I Surf Small Waves, and I used to have a t-shirt just like that.
And where is this from?
Santa Barbara.
Sawyer.
Just ripping right point breaks. Yeah. Just mastering small.
I think it's Stacy at Sawyer and Company. Is that her?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I just
that's
bought
the
shirt.
Company.
I never, you do all the due diligence. I just went, that was cool. I'll take that.
But as a surfer, there's this trend, you know, snow surfing and these different shapes. What's your thoughts? I mean, honestly.
I still love twins. I still have ASIM twins. I love going out and riding switch. I think just it's the day and the mood and the time.
Yep.
But then sometimes, just the other day, I was on the crew of Dart, and it just fucking lit me up, and I had a blast.
Yeah.
So it's not about one board. Like, Steph, you love twins.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm not a surfer.
Yeah.
So they don't make sense to me, and I have to work hard to understand them.
There's a lot of resort-style snow surf boards, and they have their place, and that's mostly just on a powder day, and you're going to get one day, maybe even a couple, only one run. So that's kind of hard to place. But then there's a lot of little companies popping up just for snow surfing off resort. And I think that actually has a lot of merit going in for get off resort, go hike a little mountain, go have a couple turns. And I've done it. It's super fun. You hit a couple rocks and you get right back up again. And it's amazing. It's fun. And definitely completely different than resort riding.
I like that you mentioned the difference, because when I think snow surfing in the backcountry and powder is very close to surfing, you know, especially whether it's no boarding or you're riding one of these shapes with a big boat hole nose or the cool tail. When I see it at the resort, I just laugh. I cringe. I'm like, oh my God, you're trenching groomers on the board that's really made for riding pow. And now you're like, I'm just going to go out and pretend I'm surfing. You see these guys laying out in the turns. I'm like, if you were surfing, you would fall off your board like that.
Yeah.
That's
you're not attached to a binding.
This is not surfing.
But let me tell you this, though. I do love going out and carving on surf-style boards. I think it's great. But if it's like a free time groomer day, that might be my morning. But then in my midday, I want like an ASIM twin, and I want to try to keep getting better at snowboarding. Go out, ride switch, you know, try new things and have fun. And I think that's what makes snowboarding cool, is you can do anything you want. And I don't know, it's just trends. And then, you know, you get on the chairlift and some guy tells you how cool camber is and this and that. And they lecture you and you're just like, oh, cool.
That's
okay.
Nice. That's nice.
Yeah. Good talk. Yeah.
People are passionate about this.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you mentioned, you know, how things go kind of full circle. Your first board was a Nidecker.
Yeah.
Out of all the boards in the show right now, I think the Nidecker boards are some of the best I've seen. And Nidecker is under the parent company of Jones. And yes.
They're on top of them.
So this is, they've always, 15 years ago, they had bindings that were light years ahead of everyone else. And then they disappeared because it's the European and the you know, the Switzerland cross. And even here in the show, there's brands here that are amazing, but they're based in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people that are like, oh, there's no value there. You're a UK brand. You're based in the Czech Republic. And some of this stuff is just next level, but because of the branding, or it's not in North America. And then on the flip side, there's companies down in the sourcing area that have gear that's equivalent of the North Face or Patagonia, are the best brands. And when you talk to these companies, they manufacture these goods for the companies. And so now they've got the patterns. We're seeing this with boards. There's certain brands right now, major industry brands, that if you go on to the Chinese sourcing sites, you can buy these snowboards in quantity for about $100 a pop. What's happening is these companies are hiring a factory to manufacture.
Yeah.
And now the factory is saying, well, we can sell these boards too.
Well,
we have your pattern.
That's been a trend in the industry, outside of the industry, for years. Jet companies would come in and see at a trade show.
Mm-hmm.
the same jet.
Cell phone companies.
By the company that made, yeah.
Well, the same thing we're talking about down the floor with like just how you buy the boards. It's like now Amazon obviously is coming in the picture. And so side story with my family life is like buying diapers. It's like with my little 17-month-old, which just went snowboarding in Jackson last week.
Nice.
Buying diapers on Amazon. It's like it buying through Pampers or whoever, and they're not Pampers. So it's like you kind of worry about when it's getting to this global extreme of mass distribution.
I'm glad you mentioned that. So between 2012 and 2014, Amazon launched two private label clothing lines. They didn't really do anything after that for a couple of years. And 2016 to 2018, they launched 60 private label clothing lines. Amazon's next play is to go into the outdoor space, specifically hard goods and soft goods. They have buyers right now on the show floor that are going up to brands saying, we'd love to work with you. We're going to order XYZ boards, and this is what we're going to pay you. And it's way below what they'd ever get. Amazon's the first one to be able to price fix. They sued the Book Publishers of America and said, you guys have always sold your books at a certain price. We're going to sell your books, but we're going to sell them for whatever we want. Take it or leave it. When your consumer reads a review and they want to buy a board, where do they end up?
I don't know, because I don't ask.
Where do they have the potential to end up via your site?
Well, we have links to major companies. And one of the things I've been trying for years and unsuccessfully is trying to help a small shop. And you reach out to them and you talk to them, but then they have such an antiquated billing system, or the guys literally can't figure out how to get visibility on your site. Hopefully in the coming year, we might have a solution for them finally, because I have this web developer who's really good. He's a guy I actually gave advice to, and then just goes, he's Dutch, and he goes, Tim, love you, Tim. He goes, well, actually your site sucks and I could do a lot better. And so we started talking, and then he fixed it. He started making it better. And he's working with our marketing guy, and we're all trying to put together a solution that might actually really help small shops compete on the same level as the big guys. And that's something, because one of my friends, great guy, and he's a buyer. And when I was starting my site, he was working at a small shop, and we just ride together every day, try to solve world problems and, you know, talk about gear. And as the Good Ride started growing and became my full-time job, and he got a job at a better company and a better company, and now he's like a buyer for a really big company. And we've always talked about this. It's like, how do we help everybody, you know? And hopefully we'll have a solution, but I don't know. You know, it's all great on the dry erase board.
How can people support your website? So they come in, they read this very in-depth review. They can even see reviews of that same board from previous seasons, or at least in the past. They've watched your video. They're like, okay, I'm buying this board. How do they support you?
Well, that's the question, is because it's tough. I want to just make this a place where they can stop by and see, but we have to stay in business. So it's a difficult question. There's never any obligation, and I'll help anybody, but they can donate, they can click through our links or whatever. But that's not why we all did this. And if I was in it for money, I'd be in a fucking another place right now. I wouldn't be talking to you.
Of course.
I actually, when I started dating my wife, she's a together girl.
Yep.
And
beautiful, by the way. Oh. James has, I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm very attracted to your wife.
Thanks.
And I get punched across the table drinking Jameson.
No, that's kind of weird, but cool. I mean, at least it's validating my turn-ons.
So you're not going to leave me alone with her, is what you're trying to say?
No.
I mean, I didn't even, before I even met her, we were riding the chairlist, and I said her, I loved her. So
it's yeah. Like, okay, Peter Shaman, who I wish was here, Peter's been helping me with the site forever, and he's the funny guy on the site.
He's the guy in the videos, right?
The blonde guy, yeah.
Yes,
he's,
yes, yes.
He has the charisma of a movie star. He's fucking hilarious. But Peter told me once, he goes, if you die, I'm going to be there every day to take care of Betsy. I'm going to raise your kid. And it's this whole long story, and it's hilarious.
And there's stories like that that exist. They're kind of creepy, but like the best friends.
It happens. Wow. One of my neighbors, they were best friends, and her husband passed, and they're now married.
Okay, since we've got Jim here.
Let me tell you the last thing. I told my wife, let me set the expectation level early. I want to snowboard for a living. And if you want to marry me, be prepared for hardships. And she did it anyways. So that was cool.
When I first started the blog, my mom said, how are you going to do this? And it's a blog. I mean, don't Mountain Weekly News. Don't kid yourself. She said, how are you going to do this?
Only I would say you're a news source. I wouldn't say you're a blog. Okay. I don't.
It was like, only celebrities can make money doing this. It's like, what do you mean? And for me, it was just a passion project. For so many years, I didn't make money. And then I was like, oh, there's revenue. And luckily, we got sponsors. And, you know, REI was a great supporter.
They're fucking great.
Spark R&D has just been a wonderful partner, you know, for splitboarding.
Definitely.
So there's a lot. But it's tough because going out, I've tried to sell advertising here, and it's brutal. And the snowboard industry, I mean, that's not a fun place to operate in.
It's retail.
Marketing budgets are shrinking.
It's weird.
I mean, we got Jim here. You know, Jim used to work for YoBeat.
Yeah. I was ad sales at YoBeat for years.
And how'd that go?
Brutal. Pulling teeth. And it's a continual fight for people looking for, oh, well, what will you give me? It's advertising. Like, no advertising in any situation gives you anything.
There's no ROI there. You're not going to, like, spend $1,000 and make $100,000 in return.
So it's brutal. It's not... It was never an easy conversation.
James, did you ever go to YoBeat? For me, it was too bro bra. It was way, way above my head.
Well, see, Mike, this is the weird thing. I live in a bubble, and all I do is work and snowboard. So I don't go anywhere.
So you didn't have the time to go even on these other random...
I occasionally somebody said, like on a chairlift, hey, look at this. And I was like, oh, that's funny. You know, but I'm like, they're probably making fun of me later.
Yes.
And I don't care. Yeah. I really, there's not enough time in life to worry about that.
Yep.
Right.
It's time just ever forward, keep reviewing, keep working.
Yes.
Be you in a world that isn't, you know?
And I like the authenticity that you have. You know, a lot of times you see these message boards and the peanut gallery, and it's just people that you actually live it. You know, you're in Santa Barbara. I think you spend half the winter
in
Tahoe, or you're in Bend now.
He
abandoned us down in Mammoth.
And so you're
living in Tahoe for a few years full time. Then my wife, actually, Mrs. Betsy Beastie,
okay,
works in green energy, and she loves her job as much as I do. So she asked me to move.
These people need you.
I don't know about that.
They do.
I think we're
everybody needs a little beastie in their lives.
You guys are a resource, though.
Yes.
We're a pimple on an ass of an elephant.
If you go on Google or whatever search engine you
want
to use and you search like,
goals.
Hey, I thought like I liked the Burton Skeleton Key. Great board. And you go and search it, Burton shows up, and then the good ride.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you see like actual real reviews.
Thank
of
you,
Tim. Riding. And
my web developer.
And
yeah.
You see really good input from people actually using hardware. If you go to Burton's site, not ripping on Burton, but it's like you see the tech specs.
Yeah.
And you see a picture of it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty board.
Google's getting smart to this. And so now if all of a sudden you have a Vimeo and you have content and your content's being updated in every season, they're like, oh yeah, this is what our consumer wants.
Is that what Google says to me?
Google has these spiders, you know, like I'm trying
it's
to
like,
think like Google on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And if you're not
Google's
on Google,
God.
You're dead.
Google's God.
It is.
Yeah.
You know
what were you gonna say?
Border Reviews was never exactly the bread and butter at YoBeat, but the handful of times we did it as part of one of the few ad revenues we got to sell. I would check you guys first, so I make sure I wasn't saying the same thing. Genuinely, because what's the point?
Jesus.
My whole perspective in writing anything is try and say something someone hasn't already said. You guys have the tech covered so well that I didn't want to go into it.
Oh, okay,
you.
What's your thoughts on backcountry snowboarding? I'm so lucky that you're not a splitboarder and that James is going to come out to Jackson, and we're going to do a trip, and I want to introduce him to this
dude,
crew.
Dude, invite Zobes.
And, you know, it's such a niche market. Even guys going out of the backcountry out of a ski resort, there's a term that people use, it's backcountry. You know, it's uncontrolled. That's how I look at it. You know, what's your thoughts on person comes to your website, they're reading it, they buy this board. You know, what's that next step for somebody that you see that's your average rider that maybe wants to...
Well, first off, talk to Mike about safety. because, like you said, a lot of people come to me and say, hey, I want to know your opinion on solids because I'm looking at buying a split, right? And I'm like, well, I can't tell you about anything about the up, and I can't even tell you about the down because it's split. But these are the boards we like. This is the thing. But will you promise me that you just fucking go get a certification? Can you just fucking be safe? Because growing up surfing, people die here and there. And it's random, right?
Very random. I mean,
but it's like Hawaii. Yeah. It's
Mavericks.
Like it's guys who are going big. Totos.
Yes.
You know? And backcountry kills anybody everywhere.
It kills beginners and experienced people.
Mm-hmm.
30,
mm-hmm.
40 years experience in the backcountry and they still die.
They die.
There was an avalanche course in Silverton a couple weeks ago where a student died. It was a level 2 course. Six people got buried.
Jesus.
These are people starting to go on
a
professional track course
right.
to learn. And it's like, it doesn't matter who you are.
The weirdest thing about the backcountry, it's not like surfing where you're out in huge waves and you know shit's weird and it's going to hurt you. They're outside sets and you're like, you remember that you and I surf, you know, the outside set and you're like, I wish I swam harder and swim practice, you know, years ago. And you
this
know,
wave's
and
about to break in front of me.
Oh
God.
You're like, this could kill me. Snowboarding is quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It's peaceful. It lulls you into thinking that everything's
you have another stoke level. It's like, I want to ride that line. I've ridden stuff like that on the resort all the time. This is going to be fresh powder. Let's go do it.
You think everything's okay, mm-hmm. and then you're dead.
I love that you say the resort part, because the most dangerous avalanche terrain is about
32 to 35
degrees.
30 to 45.
Yeah.
Intermediate advance.
And that's every resort.
Get into the super gnarly shit, it's already sliding. You get into something under 32 degrees, it just doesn't have the mechanics. But I like that you say that education. We're seeing people that show up that have an airbag, beacon, shovel,
doesn't matter.
Education, and you're like, what is this?
No,
skip
the step. From backcountry.
You
like,
know the old rule, don't skip steps. You don't remember Monty Python?
Of course.
Okay, do you remember the meaning of life?
No.
No? You,
mm-hmm. You're
any
old.
Of you?
Come
okay,
on.
I'm old. But
James
he says,
Houghton, actually,
I want to go on record that I remember.
Super
it.
Old.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm super old, by the way. I'm older.
James has some gray in his beard. I got a little patch right here that's coming through.
I got gray after my first kid. It just, all the reds went white. But anyways, John Cleese is doing a sex education thing. And he says, how do we turn on the woman? The guy goes, stimulate the clitoris. He goes, don't go stampeding off to the clitoris. That's... Like, he's like, what's wrong with a kiss, boy?
Yeah.
That's backcountry sometimes. They buy everything and they just run off to the peak.
Kind of like the bowl.
They forget the Avi. They forget the Avi classes, you know?
No. Do your Avi class. Get your beacon probe and shovel. Learn how to use them. Learn how to save your partner. Don't go out with other people that you think are experienced because they may make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have that same experience too.
Yeah.
The expert halo is what... We're really starting to talk about the human factor.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've taken my level 3 professional course I want to go up to Canada and even take more education. When I go ski with people, if I'm taking them out or a partner, I say, if at any time today I feel uncomfortable with what you're doing, I'm going to let you know.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yes.
I need you
yes.
to stand up. And so many times people go out, guides and ski patrol and these expert people, they're the ones that get caught a lot because they're like, well, now I can start playing with science. And like you said, it's all peaceful and it's a beautiful day and bluebird.
Mm-hmm.
And now
that's when you die.
Yeah.
That's when you die.
And this is serious. A lot of this industry doesn't really talk about that. When you buy climbing gear has, this will not protect you. They have skull and crossbones on the shit. It's like full on. And the insurance has been like, we have to put this on there. You don't see that with splitboards. Jones,
so Mike,
I think, might say, oh, be careful,
mm-hmm,
take a course.
Yeah.
They're just like, here, just take this shit, go buy it.
You know what,
it.
Mike? The worst thing I hate, like, as a solid rider, like a solid snowboard rider, all these guys who split, go backcountry, go, come with me, Beastie. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'll take you out. And I'm like, well, I'm not comfortable with that. And then they say, well, I'm certified. And I said,
no.
What happens if something happens to you?
Oh, I love it.
You're going to fucking die because I'm going to sit there pounding your chest like an ape.
Mm-hmm. If
you
can even find them. Right.
Yeah, if I can find them. I'm just, this is stupid.
And then the
you
avalanche
know?
Courses are one thing. I'm a professional in that regard. I don't know anything about first aid.
Right. Right.
So I've now started having to take these courses. It's like, oh, yeah, you get hurt. Now, what are you going to do now?
I took first aid with my wife. She got 100%. I got a 78. And I'm like, I'm not going up. She's too smart.
No, but going back to your airbag and even the aqua or lung or whatever, even if you're trained, it only saves 5 to 10%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you use it correctly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like it's not gonna, if you get stuck in avalanche, it's you still will probably die.
Mm-hmm. I offended a lot of this industry a few years ago. I made stickers that said, it was a picture of a brain, and it said, my brain is smarter than your airbag. And a lot of people got it, and they're like, yes, thank you, human factor. Don't go setting off avalanches. If you've set off an avalanche, you've really fucked up. You right. haven't listened yeah. to the signs. They don't just randomly happen. People are in the wrong place at the wrong time. And the safety message just needs to completely change because...
Well, Mike, if I can take an avalanche course by the time I meet you in March, I will.
Well,
if
actually,
not, we're going to go like, hey, do you have some 15-degree pitches?
Yep. Well, it's one thing that I want to start
I'm not going to do it.
Teaching avalanche courses specifically to splitboarders.
Nice.
And I think as an industry, how easy would it be for Jones or any of these brands to link up with REI and say, hey, Weston's doing that right now. I think mm-hmm. Weston Snowboards is one of the brands that I'm the most excited about. Their growth, their message, they're authentic. You know, they're building boards because they're going out and they're what Never Summer was 15 years ago. They're yeah. riding boards. They get it. And they've linked up with REI and they had a package and they said, hey, we're doing these introduction to splitboard clinics.
Mm-hmm.
Could we link up with you guys? REI is like, are you kidding? Of course. Like, we're selling this goods.
That's
why
smart.
Not show
yeah.
people how to use it? And he said only 10% of the day is actually splitboarding. The rest is like terrain management.
Right.
I ski in the backcountry yeah. every day, and I rarely go into avalanche terrain.
Yeah.
Let me right. say that again. I'm in the backcountry every single day, and I rarely go into avalanche terrain. That was something that was hard for my parent, my mom, I mean, everybody. And it's like, you can go to a ski resort, you know, maybe you don't drop into the 22-foot super pipe unless you're an experienced rider.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't go hit the 60, 70, 80-foot jump line.
Remember those kids at like Mammoth who hit the 70-foot kicker and they cleared it, landed in the flats and drove their spine into their brain and died?
Stuff like that happens yeah. every weekend.
Or shatter your shoulder.
Yeah.
What about injuries? I mean, you're on the mountain a lot. Have you dealt with any injuries over the years, snowboarding?
Yeah, lots. But it's just like people ask me, like, what do you do for the summer? I'm like, physical therapy. That's all I do. I get one surf trip in. And when I was younger, like I told you earlier, I was in a head-on collision. And I almost died. I had blood transfusions and... You know, my sternum hardened, I broke my ribs, lost my spleen. Oh, cool, dude. I'm done, by the way. This has been great, but...
I just waved at James and said 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I said, I'm cool, I'm done.
By the way, this is not...
ever do this shit.
One thing I like to say about this is not like the Snowboard Project podcast. We're not asking for your money.
You trying to get me in trouble?
Jim was interviewed by Mark Sullivan, and I love Mark. Mark started Snowboard Mag and Tailgate Alaska, and he's got this great podcast, but the entire time he's like, sign up for my Patreon, you know, donate. This is advertising free podcast. Sign up for my Patreon, give me money. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, come on, it's fucking snowboarding. Yeah. Just give that information out for free. Imagine if you had a site, you had all this information, and you told people, you need to pay to access this. Come on, like you're...
That's not who we are.
No, it's fucking snow. I want to share this with everybody. And overall, at the show, the last couple of days, is there any products that have just made you think, you know, this is one that I'd like to try? And
you
I know there's a lot of stuff you've seen. I mean, our brains are... I mean, there's
it's like trying
too much.
To go through the mental Rolodex right now. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work. This trade show is weird. It's a lot of stuff that looks amazing on paper, but I'd like to kind of hold back and wait till I actually, you know, it's like in the old days when I used to ride the wedge when I was young.
Ride the wedge? You were a boogie boarder?
A body surf.
Ooh, he is a super kook.
Yes. And some guy said...
He did the body surf movement too. Like,
and you should see Mike. Like, this should be a video because you should see Mike. He looks like kind of Travolta right now.
We could have had the full video.
Yeah, but
this is the first
too much money.
No, from... Yeah, from the old days, coming from swimming and water polo, I used to just go body surf the wedge 9 to 5 and then surf afterwards.
Wait, where are you from?
I grew up in Orange County.
Whereabouts?
For a few years. And
whereabouts?
Irvine and Newport.
Wow.
Yeah. Didn't like it. Wasn't me. Hmm. Everybody asked me if I was from the Midwest.
You have a very Midwest vibe.
You do have a Midwest look.
Yeah.
James, by the way, have you lost some weight lately? James looks in great shape. I mean, he snowboards all the time. You have to. You don't want to take advice from some fucking chilled, like, solo dude at the trade show lives in fucking some random place that doesn't snow. And
Mike,
you're like,
you met me after the Good Ride started becoming successful, where it became my full-time job. And to make that happen, I was indoors for like 2 years, just working in the dark, you know. And before that, I looked like this. And then the site got good and I could quit my day job. I wasn't working 2 8s, you know, I would work an 8 in the day and an 8 in the night. And then when that happened, I started slowly becoming normal again. And so what you're seeing is actually who I used to be my whole life.
Well, obviously.
Maybe actually a little fatter.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll wrap it up with this. I grew up skiing. You mentioned skiing.
Yeah.
I love snowboarding. I'll probably switch back to skiing at a certain point. You know,
really?
Just try something
just
different.
Mix it up.
You know, outside of snowboarding, you know, what else does James and your parent company review?
We do a better ski, but...
Wait. What, a better ski? Like, you make your own ski? Like, you're making skis? You have a press and Lake Tahoe?
Mike, take a sip of that, J-Mill. No. So, the first editor goes, I don't want to do a good ride. I want to do a better ski because I'm going to be better than you.
Wait. A first editor of...
have a ski review site. And he goes,
if somebody's already looking at your stuff and they snowboard, maybe their wife skis or their kids or somebody.
There's a link down at the bottom of the homepage. So
in the corner.
What?
Buried in the corner.
Yeah.
But so what? This is another outlet, but now this is the good ride, but skis.
You and I both, we've always had friends who are skiers, right?
Of course.
And I fucking hate Deer Valley and... Yep. You know, and fucking Alta.
Yeah.
Fuck those guys. Yeah. But
Mad River Glen doesn't get blamed enough. They're on that list too.
They were done.
They're still segregated.
Oh, because that's right. Ski it if you can. Mm-hmm. Is that
hey,
there?
Mike,
yes.
Mike,
yeah.
Maybe one day we can honor what we tried to do earlier.
We can
you
hold hands
out.
Now.
We can. I asked Mike years ago to go hold hands and piss on the.
This was the first
Deer Valley
day we had met, and I looked at this guy like, I mean, I was pretty buzzed.
I made him
a
little uncomfortable.
I don't know.
Yes. I was like, let's go hold hands and piss on the Deer Valley sign.
And every time we talk, this is the first thing James says. So.
Yeah. True.
I'm okay with it. But honestly, the fact that I was just telling a friend, he said, oh, I want to go to Utah, and I've got the Icon Pass. Where should I go? It's, you know, Snowbird, Alta, or Deer Valley. And I said, well, you're a skier. I was like, go to Deer Valley. It's super schwank. I said, but at the same time, I'm so offended that these places couldn't be like,
that.
We don't allow African-Americans or this is a skate park and we don't allow rollerbladers or being, it's like, really? Go fuck you. This surf break. Well, you see it sometimes with surfing where no surfboards are allowed after a certain time. But
the wedge.
Yeah.
The wedge was no bodyboards. Nothing. It was all body.
Because you could do the flying swan.
You can get down, Superman down. Yeah.
But so a better ski. You, our friend ski. I mean, most of this room is, there's a lot more ski industry than snowboard industry.
A lot of the snowboard industry is ski industry.
Rosignol.
Yeah.
Some of these companies.
It's all
about
legacy
K2. Brands.
Yeah, Ride.
You know?
Ride's K2.
Ride, yeah.
Rubbermaid.
What?
Rubbermaid snowboards. Newell. The company that owns K2 and Ride is Newell, which owns Rubbermaid.
It's
so I used to
like talking about this. I like talking with Mike because it's like,
I'm like throwing that
I'm
one
just
in there.
Riding shit. I'm living in my bubble and then I like pop. Mike comes out and pops my bubble.
Yeah. I like to talk a lot of, I like to be open. And that's what I do love about your reviews. You guys are, you're to the point. You know, this is who it works for.
Man.
Check us out riding. I love the footage of you, you know, riding these big.
Just being average.
Then going back to, you know, it's because that's.
Oh, God.
I miss that side of snowboarding, to be honest.
I didn't want to publish that because I was like, why do you want to see me? What the fuck do you want to see me for?
For
the
beard.
Exceptionally average.
For the beard.
Yeah. It's like a couple readers asked me to start publishing videos of us riding, and I'm like, Maybe Zobel, Jimbo, not me. Steph, definitely not me.
How is the ski side of things doing for you? Are you starting to...
It's limping along. Okay. I haven't put the time in and the effort. And I'm focused on what I do.
Yep.
And I'm hoping that, you know, we'll find some people like us, like Steph and I, who are passionate about this, and they'll take it to the next level. But
and it's also the same, you know, sliding on snow. You know, I had a friend that was a professional snowboarder. He's like, you could take a McDonald's tray out and go have fun.
Yeah.
Yes. You could.
That's how it started. Right?
Yeah, right.
You know, the old Burton boards. Or,
and
you know,
think it would be the best thing until you found a new tray.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This tray's
best. Yeah, yeah.
This tray has rocker.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, last but not least, are you going to the On Snow demo?
Of course. I got to get my Frantic Manic sampler.
Okay.
Because the best thing is the extended reviews.
Yes.
But in certain situations, it's so good to take the same boards, not the same boards, but go out in the same conditions and take different boards out and see how they all interact in that same condition. It's an incomplete review. It's not what we want to do. If it was a perfect world, it would be much better if we just got that board for two weeks. But having those reviews and doing that comparison, that's what that's for. And you know, it's like you can't dictate your surroundings, but you can, you know, rigid in inception, flexible in execution.
Can you say that three times in a row?
No.
That was really...
That's like saying judicial when you're drunk.
You spit that out. That was really nice.
Well, anyways, you've got to adapt to your situation and make it happen. And so figure out how to make these weird demos work.
Okay, I know I said this last, but not
you
this.
Hate the demos.
One last time. Let's go around the room. What's everybody's daily, either favorite snowboard or daily driver? And I know this is tough because we all get to ride so many boards, and maybe you don't want to highlight one brand or not.
Why don't you start, Mike?
Okay, right now, I think for going downhill, my favorite board is the Jones Mind Expander.
It's a good board.
And I actually only have the split board version, and I've been using it with the Union bindings, and I went heli skiing and cat skiing with a split board with Union bindings with the pin that spin a little bit.
It's so annoying. But
it was fucking
really
incredible.
Okay, wait.
For a solid question. Hold on.
Oh my God, you got me excited.
For a solid board.
This is supposed to be one daily board.
For a solid board, my... Oh, you're right.
Oh, no, he's going backcountry.
That's great.
Passionate about saying,
hey, Mike,
I'm going to go
be
to
you.
We'll
be you.
For a solid board, the Never Summer Mavericks.
Oh, my God.
You like that board?
Surfer.
I like the Mavericks.
Oh, it was fucking, it felt so surfy, and it.
I liked it.
Short tail and this nose. And
personally.
But those are the two that I really love. Let's take it to Jim.
This actually segues beautifully into mine because I have a Mavericks, and what I like about it is a lot like my daily board, but doesn't suck at powder because I have a Never Summer Cobra, which is my daily.
No, that's old.
Yeah.
a stiff
that's
board.
That's not quite Indiana Jones old.
I'm a big boy.
Yeah.
You can't see that on the podcast.
Oh, wait, so how big are you?
I'm usually around 200. I'm 5'10", 200 pounds.
Yeah.
So, and it's a 158 Cobra. That is my daily board, and it's good at everything, but terrible at powder.
How tall are you, Jim?
5'10".
And you're riding the 158. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
That's what I rode with the Cobra.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I was 5'10", 200 to 220, depending on how much work
so
I did.
So you could handle that board. That board rode me.
That board, you could set that back and ride it really well. So boards are like my children. Just there's no
two?
Favorite. Yeah, I have 30 boards in my quiver.
He has a lot of children.
And I have a lot of children. I'm like early Utah, you know?
Did you get?
I'm like early Irish.
You
know, like I'm like Irish.
Not yet. His
wife wants
one.
I almost did. Okay, Mike.
I'm sorry.
last question. Last question. Family planning. Go.
Vasectomy. Yes.
I'm old
and broken. I just went on a surf trip and broke my xiphoid process. It's
that,
the end of your
the
sternum. It looks like a tail. So I went to Mexico. Great. I'll show you pictures afterwards. Great barrels. Good times.
This, if we had Instagram, we could be looking at photos. Sorry.
But I, yeah. But I had a head-on collision and my sternum hardened. So I haven't surfed in a couple years, like 6-8 hours a day. And I went to this trip and surfed there. And at the end, I had this bump in my chest. And then it started wearing away and getting, look, see the scar?
Check you out. He likes to show his boobs.
And look at that. That's small. It used to be about the size of my fist. And it looked like an alien attached to my face.
Yeah, for sure.
And like I took it off and I'm like, cool, let's all go eat.
Check me out.
Yeah, I'm here in the dining hall. It's all cool. Yeah. And I broke my xiphoid process. My sternum hardened. I sat on my surfboard too long.
Mm-hmm.
It snapped off. And it's just like, so I have to get a xiphoidectomy and a vasectomy in one summer.
So
can they just do it
the year of
the
ectomy?
The
yeah, it's the year of the ectomy.
Back to the snowboard.
It's not the worst. Not the worst surgeries I've had either. Yeah.
The Mavericks, whatever. What daily, if you're not working, and this is so hard because I interviewed John Jackson, I'm like, those guys don't get to go free ride. They're like, work, 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 work. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, I get to go
Peter
snowboard.
Peter and John Jackson.
Like, oh,
Peter
so
and John
nice.
Jackson went partying one night. They just became friends and just went out. Yeah.
I asked John Jackson on this podcast. I said, so, you know, you're a pretty like, you know, out, you know, spiritual guy. I said, how do you check your ego? He's like, whoa, bro, that's a really deep question. Check out that episode. I think it was like episode 17 or whatever.
Sounds way more fun than this one.
People are probably not listening anymore. We're an hour and 13 minutes in. But for the rest of you that are listening.
I told Mike I was like 20 minutes, man.
Typically,
I can't
these are 30 to 40 minute interviews. But people are listening on iTunes to about 80-90%. By the end, they're like, fuck this dude. Yeah. So really quick,
cool.
Boards. What's your daily driver and what are you excited by? What are you looking forward to trying this year?
I don't have the time.
To try boards?
I don't have the time to answer this
one
question.
What board is mounted up with bindings in your car? What's the next board that you're going to ride? That's an easy question.
No, I didn't bring one.
At the demo?
No, I'm going to ride all the boards.
What are you going to first at
and
the demo?
And then afterwards.
You're just
going
to go to the first booth that you see. It's like dinosaurs will
nice
die.
I'm
going
to look
random.
At the conditions and figure out what might be the best board to try in that condition.
Out of what you've seen today, just give me a couple boards. People are listening.
It's okay to have an opinion.
Yeah.
Everybody asks.
It's not like you're getting advertising dollars from the brands. So fuck it.
No, I never have.
Be honest.
But here's the weird part. I'm literally confused at that question.
Okay,
because,
let's move on. Somebody
yeah,
else answer.
I'm literally,
you'll come back to
there's,
think
we'll
about
come
it.
Back to
BC.
Mike, there's,
think about
there's
it.
Literally hundreds of boards going through my Rolodex, and it's like it all depends on the condition, the time, and my mood.
All right. Well, my favorite brand is Capita, but my favorite daily driver is the Capita Mercury.
Mm.
Love this board.
Oh,
True
that's
twin.
A good board, yeah.
Mm. True twin, it's hybrid camber. So camber on her feet, rocker on both ends. It's amazing. It's stiffened underneath, so it has it's reinforced. And it's great. All mountain freestyle. Like you can take it aggressive if you want to as well and just go bomb it down the slope. It's amazing. I've had it for two seasons now.
Sick.
It's just killer. And going to your uphill scheme is then I have two splits. I got the K2 Ultra Split, which is my just go-to, just it's a powder day, who cares? But I realized that very quickly it was not cambered enough to handle the spicier conditions. So then I picked up the Capita Neo Slasher with the Expedition.
Oh, that's a fun board, yeah.
It is a super fun board. And it was holding edge on a very steep and spicy
Danny
Kubar.
Oh, wow, okay.
Because it's hybrid camber, but with more rocker.
Oh, isn't it flat to rocker?
No.
The Navigator?
It's camber. No,
and
it's cambered.
You were on the Unions.
Yes. So I have Spark R&Ds on my K2, but then the Unions on the Capita. And
I really do enjoy these guys are whispering in the background, so let's go.
I really do love the Spark and their tech and the no pin system.
Yep.
However, the Unions ride amazingly.
Yep.
You cannot go up with
Mike one day and learn a little safety, a little this, a little that. I was like, I bought some slipboard bindings.
What'd you get?
Just Union, because
the Expeditions.
I got the FC Expeditions only because the high back wasn't that stiff. Because I have even featured calves.
Yeah.
And stiff high backs bite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I can't use the carbon high back. These gnarly. I'm like, that's so burly.
Much.
Who's
so
Xavier De La Rue? We're not Xavier. On the women's side, what's hot? What do you?
Well, I kind of have I'm not a surfer. You guys are probably, like, you know, I just ride, you know, my all mountain freestyle. Well, it's an all mountain freestyle to me, but I ride my Yes Emoticon.
Ooh.
Just camber underfoot, rocker, tip and tail. It's got a little bit of the underbite.
I remember in just this deep powder day, like 3 feet of powder, and Steph's on a twin, and I'm like on the most setback board I can get. And I just look at her, I'm like, you're cool with this?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah. Love it.
I don't switch it out. If I'm not working, I'm instructing on the mountain every day. That's the board I go to. If I'm riding, whatever.
But that's what I love about Steph is like I hand her a Gentum stick and she goes, all right. She's like, I got it. Yeah.
Doesn't look great. Give it a try.
I love that you can just ride, you know, and that's where I think these quiver boards are pretty ridiculous. My friend Josh Millay, he passed away snowboarding. He had just gotten the cover of Trans World. He was definitely the next Travis Rice. I mean, anybody that's been in Colorado knew of his name. If you don't, Google him just next level. And he would ride like a 57 twin tip and be in the pound. People are like, what are you doing? He's like, I set it in the back seat and I just fucking leaned back. Holy shit, you don't
you
need
really
this. Like,
that's the difference between us and them.
Yes,
yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
Jim, what's your boards? Did you already? We are
still
nervous.
The Cobra.
Oh, yeah.
hasn't changed.
And well, back to James. You have to give us. There's just name some boards. Just spit them out.
The good ride favorites. Come on, there's.
Yeah,
well, there is a list, right? Best
look,
of.
I've really had a great time on the Mind Expander. That
cool.
That
a,
literally like that base is like Gentum stick fast.
Yes.
So where it doesn't have like maybe that quick float, it has that acceleration that brings it up.
Yes,
it's like starting up like a jet ski or something, you know,
and you're always
like,
sitting on top of the snow with that one, right?
Yeah.
It's a little bit more of a
and god for powder, it's like the spring break, they make amazing boards, you know.
That's a Capita.
Mm-hmm. They have a couple different of the.
They have all.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like every
tree
board's
hunter
a different person.
And
I never know how to clap. You know,
right.
It's just confusing. But it's fucking great.
Capita
is
so weird for me for so many years. Again, it was a brand that was too cool for me. I was like, I can't ride Capita. Their graphics were all like, ooh, check me out. And then I rode the Neos or the, what's the slip board? The
Neo Slasher.
Neo Slasher.
Yeah.
Funny thing about Capita, I was in British Columbia a couple weeks ago. My friend ordered a Neo Slasher in September from a ski shop. We're getting into some gossip here. Capita lost their press.
But nobody's
their
listening
press
right
broke.
Now.
Nobody's listening. Nobody
yeah.
listens to this podcast. Capita's press broke, and so they're not able to press those boards right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
aww,
so there's this major back order in the mothership or whatever, because they have to get the guys from some other country to come in, and they can't get the visas. So your board right now is super valuable. Anybody, if you can buy
so,
that,
all right,
never jump on it, because
it's
I'm
an amazing
just,
board. I'm
gonna sell a Neo Slasher and then buy one.
And like Evo and a couple
profits.
Of the outlets still have them
yeah.
for sale, but it was really interesting to hear that. I mean, supply and demand.
Yeah.
No, my two favorite powder boards, the Mind Expander and the Spring Break 58.
Okay.
And
so you're a powder whore. You live in Bend.
No,
what
I'm
about
not
that,
a powder whore.
That guy
I just show up Monday through Friday.
What about the guy that's not riding powder? What's so
well,
good
then
for
from
him?
There, I was just going to work my way down. and it's too long, Mike. You got to cut this off, man.
Give him a grimmer board.
Oh gosh.
I'm not cutting out shit. This is gonna be
yes
the longest
grades.
Interview ever.
The Yes Grades
yes.
ace him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it's
so
great.
Much fun.
Yes Grades you can take on groomers, you can take on park, you can take mm-hmm. freestyle on the mountain. It's all around amazing
yeah.
board.
Is that
and
DCP's
then,
like main or
I don't know.
Whatever the guy, David Kirchner.
These are just
yeah.
take shots with him. I don't know. Like you know, and occasionally like I'll look outside my bubble and see him do some cool shit.
What do you think's the most final question?
Yeah,
most popular snowboard right now in the industry. What do you? I mean,
I don't know.
I would say like custom.
I
one of my friends like asked me in California
don't
that don't
I
shred.
I wouldn't know that, Mike. I don't.
What board do you see the most comments on?
I don't read press. I just get questions.
What boards do you get the most comments on or questions?
The last year, I've had over 3,000 emails.
Okay.
And they're all different. So
how do we get a hold of you?
Email me through the Me Harmony profile. That's the best
way. You don't
want
to give out your actual email address right now?
Just info at the Good Ride. But don't email me through that, because if you have a specific question, follow our contact us thing. If
contact
you want, like,
website,
if you want snowboard advice or boot advice or binding advice, go through the contact us profile on the Good Ride, because I ask you a series of questions.
Yep.
So it saves me fucking time, and I don't want anybody to, like, don't contact
He's
me on Facebook.
A little buzzed.
Yeah, don't contact me on Facebook. Don't contact me on Instagram. Contact me through the Good Ride, because it might be a one email exchange. If you contact me directly, it's going to be like, I'm 5'10", 200 pounds, and I ride this. And I'm like, well, what's your boot size? What, you know?
Can people come out and ride with you?
Of course. They have. People come up to me in the parking lot and go, can we ride with you? I'm like, well, I lift up my trunk and I'm like, what do you want to ride? Just like you. You know, you're like, I have these splits. If you want to come try them,
for sure.
And I'm going to come try them.
Please do.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, James. Again, if people want to follow along with your reviews, I think you're the number one snowboard review site in the industry, hands
Jeez,
down.
Thanks.
You know, there used to be Shea Border, and she was wonderful. She did so good, and then
sweetheart.
She was like, I can't. She was more, I think, focused on revenue, where you do this out of passion, and then all of a sudden now you get to live the lifestyle and support other people.
Thanks, Mike.
Last but not least, I mean, how do they find you? Said that five times.
Just Mike, you're
I'm
wonderful.
So bad.
I love you, man.
Yeah.
Just thegoodride.com. Just go there and just email me through the contact us page.
Solid. Well, thank you, team, everybody, James specifically. Everybody, just say your names again that's here.
Jim O'Leary with Mountain Weekly News and Tailgate Alaska.
Oh, I like, thank you for throwing that out there.
Jim, that's not Irish at all. James
no.
Beastie.
Stephanie Wilkerson.
Matt Zobel.
Right on. Well, thanks, team. I appreciate it. Solid. Thank you.